WHK listeners out there, and Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, and welcome this afternoon to the Shofar Ministries Hour right here on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, and our teacher, Sheila Crawford, is here. So get your pen and your paper and that Bible. Get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. Let's ask our Father in Heaven for His blessing on our minds and our hearts today. Before we get started, we thank you, Father, for your Son that you sent to be the atonement and also to be the high priest and to lead us and guide us through our life. And we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit that enlightens and makes your Word come alive. We do the studying, and your Holy Spirit guides us through the Word, and we thank you for that. Be with us today. Be with our listeners today. Help us in our understanding. Help us to be the people that you want us to be. In the name of your Son, of our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. And we are here at WHKW every week, where I have to say it's probably one of my most favorite things to do is to sharing gold nuggets of Judeo-Christian truth, especially on eschatology. That's my favorite thing to do. And I want to remind you that thanks to our good friend Lou Buckles, you can listen to any of the past shows by going to my webpage at shofarministries.com. Or .net, by the way. Either one works.
Either one works now. And we will later on in the hour, we'll have those phone lines open for you. So please, but we just ask you, keep your questions to the subject of eschatology, that is the end times things, because we are in the end times. We are in the last days. Not a lot of information is being taught about this subject in your local church. However, if you do find a local church that is, and some are, we really encourage you to seek those churches out, sign up for the courses, whatever you need to do to learn about the last days. We need to know how very close we are to hearing that sound of that last trumpet, which is talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, the last couple of weeks, Sheila, we were talking about Israel's right to the land, the God-given right to the land, and our administration's efforts, our State Department and our and so forth, the efforts to get them to concede this land to the Palestinians. And this is we covered the topic pretty well.
Yes, we did.
And we came to the conclusion that you are in deep trouble when you start going that way, when you're trying to force Israel to give up land, because
right.
It's God who gave them the land and God who wants them there, not necessarily us.
Right.
So anyway, we covered that. What are we going to do this week?
Yeah, and I just want to add, again,
okay.
if they missed those shows, there's a really good Bible study there. For those of you that really want to meet, the best way to listen to them almost sometimes is on the webpage, because you can pause it, you know, chew on it, you know.
Oh, that's good.
And
hey, Lou did a good job on that. He's
yes,
got
he
those
did.
Shows archived for us on our website, so
right.
We can go back and listen.
And because we have Nick, who's over there, that copies them for us right away. Thank you, Nick. Okay, what's on the agenda today? Well, let me tell you what, since this is your favorite topic, we're going to learn some studying tips, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to use is going to be the phrase in Matthew 7:1, where it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, John, how many times have you talked about someone and said, you know, their fruits are not there or something like that, and or even a family member? I know parents come to me often and say, my kids just keep telling me that I can't judge them. What do I do? You know, and I think it's important, because that's what seems to be the trait now. Well, you can't judge me, so therefore...
Well, yeah, I always hear this. Jesus said, judge not,
lest you be judged.
Lest you be judged.
That's right. So this is why studying is so important. And one of the things that I want to stress more than anything else is that when you're reading your Bible, you should always have a concordance nearby. so that you can take at least one word out of every single verse and look it up. Now, the Holy Spirit will really guide you. You never start studying or reading your Bible without first praying and asking the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, reveal things to you, and He won't do it all at once, so it takes little bits and pieces a little at a time. So when I was reading this, I definitely picked out the word judge, and I looked it up in the concordance. And in case you're listening and maybe you don't even know the Lord really or haven't decided to make Him your personal Lord and Savior in the car somewhere and just happened to hear my voice and said, you know what, I think I'll listen to this for a minute. And if that's the case, I encourage you to listen to these shows because you might want to make Jesus Lord of your life because there is a judgment day coming. But this judge not that you be not judged. When I looked up the word judge, the word is in Greek, krino. That's K-R-I-N-O. And it's number 2919. And when you see it in the dictionary or the concordance, it will say, means to condemn, to punish, or to try, like a trial. And honestly, when I talk about someone, like for instance, I got an email last week that I was too hard on Obama. After all, he's a Christian, and I have no right to judge him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's really why I'm addressing this, because it's not the first time that I've been told that. And I think it's important to understand that when you say judge, you are saying condemning him to hell, that he's already been condemned and there is no turning back. That is so not what I'm saying.
And when, I didn't think it was.
No. And when the younger generation says you can't judge me, you need to tell them that judging means condemning to death as far as hell. And we don't do that. What we are told to do is to reprove. And in fact, it's actually a command, an obligation, a responsibility even, especially to those that have taken the name of Jesus as their own.
That's right. And it reminds me of the commandments in the Old Testament, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And when you become saved, you are taking the name of the Lord.
That's right. And so you want to walk right. Now, it's hard sometimes, especially in the days that we're living, because there's evil is growing more rampant, like the Bible said it would. So it's harder to stay on the straight and narrow and to be all that you can be as a Christian. So that's why we need each other, and that's what the body of Christ is all about.
Right.
So if I see somebody in blatant sin or even heading towards that arena,
yes,
then it is my obligation as another member of the body of Christ to go to that person and show them where they're erring. Now, that's not really happening that much today. I have actually heard where someone saw another brother in the Lord with another girl in the Lord, and it was not in a good position. I won't go into details. But what they did was walk away and not let them know that they were seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not their business. And so then, of course, that just festered and went on and on. Finally, it was, you know, revealed to all. But when I heard that this person knew it all, she says, oh, yeah, I knew that all along. I actually saw them, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, what? You mean you didn't go to them and rebuke them? And here in Second Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word. And that's what we should be doing to as many people as possible, because we are all priests.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready in season and out of season. That means all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Convince. And then it says to rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So really, it is our responsibility to reprove, or sometimes it says rebuke, someone that we see going in the wrong direction. But that does not mean I'm judging them. For one thing, they're saved, okay? And if they're not saved and you see that they're doing something awful, I don't see any problem with trying to talk them into, you know, doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, I really don't. And I think that that's what the Lord would want us to do, being that we carry the Christian name. So I guess I'm getting the point I'm trying to make. If I say something that might offend someone against our new administration, trust me, I am not judging them, because I hope that they will come to their senses and repent. But I just expressed my First Amendment rights, and I do pray for them, like the Bible says we're supposed to.
I think that's the way to go. We are supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to love them. And when we see folks that are in error, pray, you know. And if we have to confront them, if there's the opportunity, we should confront them.
Always in love.
Face to face and in love.
And caring.
Because, you know, frankly, what one member of the body of Christ does that's sin, it'll affect the other members.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, in ways that, you know, sometimes we don't even know, but it always seems to do that.
Yeah.
And we're, the other part of the verse in the old, in I think it's Numbers, and I looked and looked and looked for it, but it's love your neighbor as yourself. And in that same verse, it also says rebuke your neighbor.
Sure.
Which means
if
to reprove them.
If you're, he needs it.
You know, if you see them getting off, you know, it doesn't have to be a reprovement or a rebuke. It could be an encouragement to get, hey, you know, you need to get back more into the world.
Yeah,
you know, you were like, so, you know, you were just doing so good there, and let me help you. You know,
right.
Let me.
Because otherwise you're just tolerating it, and it's going to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
And in fact, in Timothy also, in the next chapter, he says to rebuke in the presence of all. You know?
I don't see that. That's not done much anymore.
I know there's another verse that says go to that person first, and I wasn't able to find that one. But in verse 20 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, he says, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we thought that would happen more, maybe we'd be a little more cautious.
Oh, I have experienced that. It's not pretty to see something like that.
So I think we both agree to the fact that we are not to be silent or tolerant when one calls himself a Christian, especially, but their fruits are rotten.
Hmm.
Yeah. Amen. So I wanted to say that. And also I wanted to talk just for a quick second on Romans 13, because it talks about how we are commanded by the scriptures to be in civil obedience to those governing bodies that are over us. Now, that's a hot topic, and it's not really one that I excel in because I do the end time prophecy stuff. But I do feel this way, that Paul was taking that for granted, that we all knew that we were to obey and be under our civil obedience as long as it adheres to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
God still supersedes the law of man. And I think, in fact, I know through scripture, there are occasions where the law of God did supersede the law of man. In fact, in the early church, when they were required to declare that Caesar was Lord, do you remember that
yes.
reading it, or be executed?
Right.
Did they declare him Lord? No, many chose death by martyrdom rather than acknowledging the lordship of Caesar.
That's right.
The other thing is, Bible tells us that the powers that exist are ordained by God, and I believe that. I think that every leader in the world is probably ordained by God. However, Peter disobeyed the order by the magistrates not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They said, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Now, did he disobey that? Yes, he did,
yes,
in
he
Acts
did.
4:19. So when it becomes a matter of my conscience, then I must be obedient to God. But for the most part, I am to be obedient to those governmental forces over me. I mean, I try to obey the law. I don't speed much. I pay my taxes, okay?
Yeah.
I am to obey the law. But I got to tell you the truth. Lately, I'm even questioning about these taxes thing when I know it goes to Planned Parenthood, to abortion clinics, or Israel's enemies who want to destroy them, and we give billions of dollars to the Palestinians, and it's just...
Yeah, what do you do in that case?
Yeah, well, I still obey the law at this point anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, it's starting to bother me. I'm not going to deny that fact.
Yeah.
But he actually gives the people the leaders that they want and deserve.
I believe that, too.
Do you remember Saul?
Yes.
Okay.
They wanted Saul, they got him.
Right, and it wasn't God's perfect, but
no.
He... let him have that. And then
right.
Samuel Had no second thoughts, by the way, of reproving Saul, if you read the whole story a couple times. He had no problem with that, and he was a leader.
Yes.
But not that he listened to him, but he did reprove him, okay?
Well, Samuel was an intimidating figure, too.
Yeah, he was a priest.
Yes.
But also, evil men, or I should say unrighteous, because in God's eyes, if you're unrighteous, you're evil. Did you know that?
Oh, I thought we were good and then not as good and then...
No, you're either righteous or you're not. And if you're not, then the Bible calls you evil. So, But also, the unrighteous or the secular type liberals that don't want God in their lives, let's clarify that.
Okay.
They want the same type of person to reign over them, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So because of that, God allows it to be part of their judgment and he actually turns them over to what they want.
Beware of getting what you want.
I mean, think of Nebuchadnezzar. He was appointed by God.
Yes, he was.
But the three Hebrew young men defied the decree to bow down to the statue.
That's right. But they did everything else that Nebuchadnezzar said, which was, come with me from Jerusalem, or wherever they lived
they
in
did.
Israel at the time. And they were obedient up to that point.
That's right.
But when it came down to bowing down to an idol, they wouldn't do it.
No, they wouldn't. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. And of course, we know the story about that. But think of the other leaders of the world. Kim Jong-il of North Korea. God knows that he's there and allowed it for a reason.
That's
okay?
Right.
And it's Saddam Hussein. Look what an evil man he was. And now we've got Ahmadinejad who just, they're pretty sure he is the continuing president of Iran. And you just look in his eyes and it's scary. But there's a purpose in everything. And the main thing is that God's prophecy in his word will be fulfilled. Can you think of anybody else that was a ruler that they rebelled up against?
The story of Hanukkah. There's Antiochus Epiphanes.
That's right. That's
and
right.
There was a rebellion led by the Maccabees.
Right.
And that was definitely a rebellion, and they were going outside the law. They even... They decided to do a military action.
That's right. That's right.
And the result of it was?
Yeah. So I think Romans 13 is good to be there, and it's pointing us to make sure that, you know, we do everything we can lawfully.
Yes.
But sometimes there comes a time when you just can't, and you have to speak out and say, you know what, that's wrong.
Yes.
You know, let's not be tolerant about everything.
That's right.
That's my opinion on that one. I'll probably get a few emails this week on that. I don't know.
Well, you know, I have, when it comes to like judging or, you know, rebuking even, I am so busy with myself, you know, with all my little things where I slip and fall all the time. And I promise you, as soon as I get done with myself, I'm going to start on other people. You know, just so God's working in me and showing me the truth and, you know, and that I'm not very perfect.
I know.
And none of us are.
But you know what? You will. That will help you grow by showing other people the error of their way.
Yes.
It really will, because you are going to want to, you know, be able to say, well, you know, I'm trying to, and I know that I fall, but let's help each other.
Yes.
You know, I just think if we see a blatant sin, and a lot of it, you know, is this lust, adultery stuff, if we know that something's going on and we just be quiet, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But let's finish a little bit on the stunning before we have to take a break.
Okay.
So basically, the first thing is that you want to look up at least one word out of every verse that you read. That's called studying your Bible, and Timothy says to study your Bible.
And the words are important, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Because like you said, the word judge.
I know.
You have a concept. Words are just really labels for concepts that's in your mind. My concept of judge might be totally different from yours. And when you go look up
the
word.
Well, it is in America, and that's why we need to show that.
Exactly.
We need to see the judgment means condemning someone to hell, and
words,
that's the last thing.
That's the of course. You know, and words are the last, or words are just merely, I've learned, they're just merely labels for a whole concept of life experiences that a person has.
Mm-hmm.
And from yours might be totally different from mine. That's why we have to be careful when
we study. Make sure we get on the same page.
And we get on the same page, yeah.
But going back to studying, now after you look up, you know, one word in each verse, and you should write it down, down the number of the word and the meaning, and keep a little folder so that you can look, you know, in the future. Also, underlining your Bible. Don't be afraid to write in it.
Mm-hmm.
Highlight it. Write notes in the side margin.
Yeah, it's not the Dead Sea Scroll. Go ahead and write. Go ahead and write in your Bible.
I wouldn't buy a Bible now without wide margins.
Right.
I mean, I just wouldn't. So if you're looking for a Bible, make sure it's got wide margins. If you're looking for a study Bible, if you're like a brand new Christian, I don't have a problem with that. I haven't had a study Bible in a long time because they sometimes, you know, confuse me and I like to look at my own. But if you did want a study Bible, it's been so long since I've gotten one, but I think the Ryrie is still around, and that's at least a pre-tribulation study Bible, which is important to know, too.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that it is that. But after you look up the word, then you want to look at the center columns, and every good Bible will have a center column, reference column of other scriptures that complement the scripture that you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a little A or a little B or a little C, and then you go over and you look at the other scripture. And I would look up, especially when you're first starting to study, look up almost every one of them that
sure.
applies. And then
right.
you'll see how they complement each other.
That's right.
And then sometimes from there, he'll just take you on a journey. He really will. And go with it. And that's why it's so important to, when you sit down to study, that you don't say, well, God, you only got an hour, you
right.
know, or you only got 15 minutes. It's always good to have at least 2 hours at a time span so that he has time to move you and teach you and take you where he wants you to go.
Well, I'm glad you said that. So that's what that column running down the middle is
for. That's what it's for, yeah.
What if it's underneath?
Either
that
way.
Would be a footnote.
Sometimes.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, not necessarily. Footnotes are actually in the study Bible and has more information.
I see.
The center column sometimes at the bottom, but that's fine too. But there, any good Bible has them. And if it doesn't have it, don't buy it.
There you go.
The other thing is I want to talk about, of course, is to have a Bible dictionary. Lots of information in a Bible dictionary. A good Bible dictionary has pictures and show you all these kind of things. You know, it has maps.
Bible dictionary.
Yeah, and they're not expensive, but you should also have one of those besides your concordance. And I still like the Strong's because I spend so much time on my computer with writing my newsletters and everything that my eyes get tired actually staring at the screen. So when I study, I really like to have my books. I know it's the old-fashioned way. But I enjoy my books more than I do looking at a screen and looking up concordance numbers and stuff. But, I mean, whatever suits your fancy is fine. The main thing is that you need a concordance.
Got to have that Strong's concordance.
Well, I like the Strong's.
Exhaustive concordance.
Exhaustive, yes. Yeah. Got to be exhaustive.
Dr. Strong got exhausted, so you wouldn't have to.
Yes,
and
you did too.
I'll tell
he?
You, talk about a reference book. Now, that has all the words that are in the Bible in English.
To the King James Version.
To the King James. And now they have the New King James. King James Version,
oh, good.
Version of the Strong. So you have that. And then you have a Hebrew dictionary and a Greek dictionary.
That's the interlinear.
And that would give you the numbers that match up to your scripture.
No, that's not the interlinear.
That's not quite
yet.
The, but it's a lexicon. It's a dictionary. And so you can actually look at the word in the original Hebrew, in the original Greek, as well as get a definition from it and see also where that word occurs throughout the whole Bible.
That's right. That is awesome.
So if you don't have one of these Strong's, you need to get one. They're kind of big. They're about like a good-sized phone book.
Right. They're only about $20, though.
But
they're very affordable.
Yeah, very affordable.
So, okay, we've got our concordance, we've got a Bible dictionary, a study Bible if you have to, and then, of course, the interlinear is for those that really want to do some heavy studying. And that has the English right underneath the original Hebrew or Greek, depending if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And it has the Strong numbers hooked on.
There's a Strong's reference numbers, too. Yeah,
right.
So you can go right.
And you can actually see the Hebrew, and that is really a good way because the English word is the actual English word that
yes.
should be there. It's not somebody's interpretation of it.
So a good study Bible, a Strong's concordance, and if you can, get yourself a interlinear.
Right. They're a little more expensive, but again, if you're going to be a teacher or something like that, got to have one.
Yes.
Because then if someone says, well, what version do you use? It doesn't really matter what version you use because everything that you are ready to teach, you should always read in the interlinear first.
Right.
And you don't need different versions then.
And too, Sheila, we got to mention that just if you have a Webster's Dictionary around the house, that can go a long ways in helping you understand. There's words in the English language that I don't understand. I have a Webster's Dictionary, which I think every household should have,
sure.
of the English language. And when it gets to a word, I'll look that up. Because chances are the folks that translated your Bible were graduates and doctorates and chose that particular word for a particular reason.
True.
And that's very helpful, too.
I do like the Amplified also, just because it really accentuates the meaning very clearly.
Bible the
Amplified.
That's a translation.
That is. That's a version. That's true. But I do like that one.
I have one.
Yeah, I do too. Also, the Interlinear Bible, by the way, is the one that I encourage people to get is the J.P. Green Sr. Mm-hmm. He's the editor and translator, and that's Sovereign Grace Publishers. And I also have the ISBN number. If you have a pencil and paper out there, which I warned you to have in the beginning, write this down, ISBN number 1-878-442-82-1. Now, again, that's a few years old. There might be a newer version, and that would be fine, too. But it's J.P. Green, editor and translator by Sovereign Grace Publishers. Amen. Okay. Amen. We're going to take a break, and we're going to hear a song by another Ohio gal.
Is this your friend, Tammy?
Yeah, she's an old friend of mine. Yeah. We've known each other
and
for a long time.
And a friend of Shofar Ministries, too.
You betcha.
Yeah.
And, again, she's from Ohio, and she's got a CD out, but she's going to sing, I'm going to play the song El Shaddai, because it's kind of fitting for the show, since it's Hebrew and all that. And I think we'll play the song first, and then we'll go into a break, and we'll be back.
Yes, so stay tuned.
By the power of your name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkano Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you save the son of Abraham. Through the power your hand, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set the captives free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon. The power of your name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkano Adonai. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Though the people could not see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, by
If you're an adult male, you need to listen to this information. By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. What can you do? In the past, many men have turned to saw palmetto to support prostate health. But now, there's something much better. It's called Beta Prostate, and it was formulated by research chemist and best-selling author Roger Mason. Beta Prostate contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. In fact, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same benefits of one dose of Beta Prostate. It's guaranteed to provide noticeable support, even if you're already having prostate-related health issues.
I'm Roger Mason. Unfortunately, every one of us men will suffer from some kind of prostate problem if we live long enough. By age 60, 1 in 2 American men already have issues with their prostate. This includes nightly trips to the bathroom and trouble with their romantic life. Beta Prostate is the most effective supplement for your prostate and gives you the support you need. It works naturally with your body and is completely safe. When you order Beta Prostate, I'll send you a free copy of my best-selling book. I want every man to understand the importance of natural supplements and to take these easy steps for good prostate health.
Now you can get Roger Mason's Beta Prostate formula through this special offer. And if you call now, you'll learn how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Feel a difference or your money back. Here's how to order.
Call now to order Beta Prostate. Dial 1-800-538-1697. That's 1-800-538-1697. And if you call right now, you'll find out how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-538-1697. That's 1-800-538-1697. Don't delay. Call to secure your order. Dial 1-800-538-1697. That's 1-800-538-1697.
AM 1220, The Word.
Hey, and welcome back to the second half of the Shofar Ministries Hour here with the Reverend Sheila Crawford. I'm John Bartlett, and I'd like to give you those phone numbers that we promised we'd open up for the second half of the show. And those numbers are, you can call us right here at the station at 216-901-0933 with your question about the end times. If you're outside the calling area, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible, and donations are needed to stay on the air. Just a reminder that perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio. Now, you can reach Sheila for details by calling her at 440-834-9006.
And I'd also like to add that all donations of $50 or more towards this airtime will receive a handmade gift from Mike. He's been so faithful. He every week gives us some more crosses, and they're beautiful. You can use them on the wall. And now he made us even bigger ones that you can actually stick in the ground, like outside your door or in your garden. They're very, very nice. But soon after he prayed, after coming to the Lord, he wanted to do something for the Lord. And he saw these old windows in a pile of junk one day, and his eyes just immediately fixated on the dividers of these windows. And it looked like crosses. And so when he heard we were looking for donators to help pay for airtime, he decided to give us some of these crosses to give to those of you out there listening who donate to the show time. And we really appreciate that. I just want you to know that. Okay? So if you would like to make a donation, either through the mail or through PayPal on my webpage, we will send you a homemade cross from Mike with love. And that's Shofar Ministries, P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And it's such a small little post office that if you were just to put P.O. Box 513, 44021, it would get there.
Well, I'd like to, if I could, Sheila, tell folks listening today about one of our sponsors.
Yes, we need
to. Probably, if you're listening out there today and you're working on the old house and you've got yourself into some sticky problems with your masonry work, I know just what you can do. You can call Mullet Masonry, and they work with either brick, block, or stone. Their work is impeccable. It's earned them a great reputation. And they do residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial jobs. And they're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, and they do great work. They're affordable and a nice people to boot. So if you need a free estimate, call Chad Mullett at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try the next time you need any facet of masonry work. You know, it's best to leave things to the experts sometimes. And
yeah.
After all, Mullett Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. So be sure to tell Chad when you call him that you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio.
That's right. And I'd like to thank one of the other sponsors to the show, and that's Nicole Maroos. And again, most of you have heard of the all-natural Arbonne health and beauty products. Again, I have to tell you, I use them every day. And Nicole is a local representative of the Arbonne line, and she would really love to help you find the right products specially suited for your type of skin or body needs with a free analysis. She also does nutrition and weight control, so be sure to give Nicole a call. Her number is 440-840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to earn some free products or start your own at-home business. Again, Nicole's number is 440-840-2176. Christian ladies, I know we all wear makeup, and Arbonne is non-toxic. Very important. So maybe you're committed to supporting another ministry at this time and just can't help, you know, donating to this show right now, but you do wear makeup. So maybe you could call Nicole, and again, this way you'd be helping to keep this show on the air.
And helping to keep us all look beautiful, too.
Yes. And I need all the help I can get.
Oh, don't say that. You're looking good.
Oh, well, I'll take that compliment.
Reverend Sheila Crawford, looking good.
All right. We have a caller. Let me see. We have Mike in Cleveland, and he has a question. Are you on the air, Mike?
Yes, I am. Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm fine, Mike. Is this the Mike with the crosses?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I just want to thank you so much. They're beautiful.
Oh, my pleasure. They come from a gift from God. He's the one who initiated all with me. So.
Yes, amen. What's your
question? I really have your input. I truly believe we're headed into the war of Ezekiel. I think it's Ezekiel 24-28. And I just like your input on that.
Okay. You're saying Ezekiel 24?
I'm not sure. I don't have my Bible with me right now.
Okay, let's try 38 and 39.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, it's the War of Ezekiel, and I just like to hear what you guys have to say, and I'll hang up now. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles out there, let's turn to Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Okay, thank you, Sheila. Thank you, John.
Okay, sure, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. God bless you.
Bless you, too.
All right. Yes, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the War of Gog and Magog is the title that it's been given. Okay. And basically, we are very close to that, I believe. The main thing about Ezekiel 38 and 39 is there is a group of nations that are going to come against Israel, and they are going to try to totally annihilate it. Now, we know that God steps in. We also know many will die, okay? But the main players in Ezekiel 38 is Persia and Russia.
Okay. Now, that's seen. Israel's been tried, has been, since they've become a state in 1948, people have tried to destroy them since they've been there. There's been two wars. And actually three, I think.
Oh, there's, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually. Yeah. So this, what makes this war different? And you're saying it's the people that are attacking them. It's not going to be Egypt. It's not going to be the Arabs. It's not going to be Palestinians. It's two
new ones.
Two new ones. This is Russia.
The main characters are Russia and Persia.
Persia.
And
that's Iran.
Iran today.
And don't
right.
we and don't we see an alliance between Russia and Iran that's been unprecedented
John.
In world history? Right. These
the
days.
The first time in all of history.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Has the area that we call Iran today and the area that we call Russia today has ever been aligned allies together? Never. They are now.
They are now.
Yeah, and the Bible said they would be thousands of years ago. And they also said it would come against Israel. Of course, what does Ahmad Ahmadinejad say?
Well, he wants to
destroy Israel. And that's one of the reasons why I thought that he would probably be president again, because he is probably the most aggressive of all the leaders. They're all, you know, aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the most aggressive, and he really does believe that there has to be a war in order for the Messiah, or his Mahdi is what they call it, to appear. So he's into it. He's going to do it. And that's why it's just sad that they continue to build up the nuclear arms race, or, you know, they say it's for electricity. And now our president is saying they'd have the right to have nuclear electricity also. So I don't think he's going to do anything to stop them. But again, it's all been predicted that they will get it and they will go after Israel. Praise God. Praise God, the Lord will step in before Israel is all annihilated. But here's the key. I think it's going to happen soon. Not yet. A couple years yet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I can see it moving towards that way. And the one thing that you learn with Hebraic roots is that in the scriptures, when it says in that day or on that day, okay, that means it has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Because that is that last 7,000th period of time that only God knows exactly when that is. But at the end of the 6,000th year from the creation of Adam, that begins in that day. And the first seven of in that day is going to be the tribulation period, also called Jacob's trouble. The reason it's called Jacob's trouble is because that is the time that all Israel will accept Jesus as their Messiah, when they see what God, through the Messiah, will do with this war of Gog and Magog.
Yay!
So
it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
The Bible, again, has predicted an event that happens in our time from years ago. I don't know when Ezekiel wrote that exactly.
Thousands of years ago.
That's all I can tell you.
Oh.
And he's writing about a political alliance that has never happened before, but we've seen it happen before our eyes. So there's no reason to think that there wouldn't be this battle. It's just we have not seen this war yet. It has not been declared yet.
No, of course not.
Yes.
You know, we would know that because, you know.
But we know the players are there.
But we know the players are here. They're aligning together. They're and it says in verse 10 of chapter 38 that it's in that day.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also.
Another caller there, I think.
Well, yeah, let's take another caller and see what we've got going here. We have Danielle in
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Okay.
Hi, I have a few questions. My first question is the nature of idolatry being the first commandment, and that all other sin stems from that. It is the root. It is a poison root that everything else has come out of, including homosexual marriage, human sacrifice, abortion. And you can see, if you look through the books of the Kings and the Chronicles, the history of the kings, a good king would come along, and what would he do to rid the land of evil? Well, he would immediately destroy all of the idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Because God would make it clear this is what needs to be done.
Right, no other gods.
Right, and what we have here now is in Ezekiel 14, verse 3. These men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? And my question is the flag that's flying over Jerusalem right now, mm-hmm, is a symbol of witchcraft. And how could God be supporting that? And wouldn't that be bringing judgment against Jerusalem? Also, it says Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the end of that time,
mm-hmm,
which apparently is still going on.
Right.
So it's kind of convoluted to say. And then you have to go to Ezekiel 17 and 18, which says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of my people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you, mm-hmm, hunt the souls of my people? will you save the souls alive that come to you?
Okay. Well, first of all,
I don't wear makeup.
Can I take the first?
Oh, you don't wear makeup.
No, because, you know, that's has its roots in witchcraft.
I know. I've heard that before, too.
Okay, yeah, I also have a question about the computer.
Oh, you're only allowed one. You've already had three.
She's got three. Daniel, I want to. Let's go with the flag that flies over Jerusalem and that Star of David or Solomon's Star. Yeah, of course, it is used in occult practices. It is just a symbol, but God will judge us by our hearts, like you spoke of, and not necessarily what's on our flags. And that symbol was chosen to represent the new state of Israel in 1948. Because they felt that since they were, most of them were required to have that sewn as on their lapels and on their jackets to identify them in the Nazi occupied countries, including Germany, that was kind of like an in your face remark. And so that what should be on that flag, I believe, is the menorah, but it's also David's shield. It's Mogen David.
Right.
It's called
the occult symbol is also in a circle. You got to remember that.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the flag is not.
But the point is, I don't think God is going to judge them for what's flying above, you know, on a flag.
Right.
You know?
I agree with you. It is the heart.
They're going to judge them for what's in their hearts.
That's right. And that's why judgment is coming on Israel. It's called Jacob's trouble. But the reason that he's going to honor what he promised is because he made a covenant with Abraham, and he's not going to break that. He promised them that they would eventually have their own kingdom, and he's going to bring them out of sin, recognize their Messiah. We know that by Ezekiel 38, which I was going to get to, by the way, and I think it's important that we do that.
14 or 38?
Go back to Ezekiel 38 and look and see how it says, after the war, mm-hmm. after God intervenes, and they accept Jesus as the Messiah. It even says so in verse 23. At the end, he says, then they shall know that I am the Lord. That is the catalyst that is going to bring them to their knees. And that's a praise the Lord. But then also in verse 22 of the next chapter, it says, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward.
Yeah.
Now, that's plain to me. You know, and I'm going to say one more thing. In Revelation 12, which is chapter 12 is a summary kind of man actually on earth, but I'm going to get to it so I can be specific. But in Revelation 12, it talks about how the great sign appeared in heaven, and we see the vision of the sun and the moon, and that's all pointing to Israel, by the way. And we see in verse 6 that this woman, or Israel, is going to flee into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay? So, when you get down to verse 13, we see that this dragon is very upset because the woman is fleeing into the mountains for protection. So he's really mad, and read it yourself, but it says he goes after them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he spews out water in verse 15 like a flood, okay, mm-hmm. so that he could get to the woman. But the earth opens its mouth, so God has an earthquake. So he never did get to get the Jews that were running into, I think, the area of Petra. But here's what I was trying to get at from the beginning here. In verse 17, it says, and the dragon was enraged about that with the woman who is Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We know this is in the middle of the tribulation because they are going to be in Petra for 3.5 years, okay, while they're being protected. We also know by Matthew 24 when the abomination of desolation happens. That's in the middle of the tribulation, and that's when he chases them. So that way we can say that the war of Gog and Magog must occur in the first half of the tribulation because that's when they all get saved. Now, it's only the Jews in Judea, according to Matthew 24, that flee into the mountains. So he's right, the dragon's right when he says, well, I'm going to let them go. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go to the rest of them that are probably up more in the north, Tel Aviv area, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So it all makes sense. And what I guess I want to say is that everything in the Bible is like a puzzle. And that's why I love prophecy so much, because for years, decades, I won't tell you how old I am, but it's been a long time, I have been taking these pieces of the puzzle, and throwing out the ones that just don't fit,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this fits, and that's why I love it so much. So basically, the Jews, because of the covenant that he made with them, even though they're not living right today, only a few Orthodox really serve the Lord anymore. I'm sad to say that they are secular. In fact, this week there's a gay parade in Jerusalem. This is not good.
They're just like us.
Yeah, really.
Pretty much.
Like America. So these are sad yeah. days, but that's why judgment is coming.
Yeah.
And it's called Jacob's Trouble, and it will last 7 years. The first half, the war of Gog and Magog, will come. They will recognize their Messiah, and then he will protect them after that, pretty much. And I could go on and talk. You know how I am.
Did we get Danielle's question there? Did we get it covered?
Yeah, about the covenant. You bet we did.
Yes,
yeah. I don't know about all of it, but...
Yeah, it was a good question.
Not totally in time question.
Yes. Well, it was
sort of, maybe.
Sort of, yes. And we thank Danielle
but
for
thank
calling.
Thank you, Danielle.
Yes.
Okay. How many minutes do we have? We have 2 minutes.
We
Is
have
there
two
anything
minutes.
You want to add, or we should close, huh?
Let's see.
That hour just goes so fast.
I know it does, and I appreciate the callers. And
I want to remind people, too, that
yeah.
if they just don't like to call in, that they can email me during the week, ask the question, I'll bring it with me to the station, and we'll answer it.
Also, too, that, you know, we broadcast also the WHKW radio signal is broadcast on your computer if you have
at the same time
connected
yeah.
to the World Wide Web. It's
That's
at WHKWradio.com.
Thank you, John, for
and
saying
you can
that.
Hear that just about any place you can be in this world with a computer that's online. And, of course, you will hear our show and all of WHK's programming, too. But our show on Saturdays at 1 to 2 every mm-hmm. Saturday.
Every
Saturday.
Shofar
Ministry Hour. And if you tune in that way, that's fine, too. And you can use that toll-free number to call in when you need to call in.
And please think about donating. We sure like it here. We want to stay for a while. When I was here a while ago, I had to stop because sponsors just, you know, weren't there. So I'm hoping that that's not the case this time. And so I encourage you to send in a donation. Appreciate it.
Be diligent and vigilant over your finances so that you can help us get the message out.
Right. No matter how poor, we still have to do some giving.
We still have to do some giving. And God always blesses.
Right. And these are important times to study the Bible.
That's right.
Amen.
And, you know, don't always expect the blessing of money. Sometimes he blesses you with grandchildren.
Yeah, or even good health. I think that's better than anything.
That's better than anything.
All right. Well, we want to say goodbye until next week.
Yeah.
Have a good week. I'd like you to give them the Aaronic blessing. And we know that that's what God told Moses to tell Aaron to pray over the people.
Okay, we're going to do that. I don't hear is that one word? I don't hear
yeah,
the music
go ahead.
Yet.
Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Say it in Hebrew.
Okay,
first,
Numbers
John.
6. This is how the Aaron would put the name of God, and we're talking about that, on the people. So here we go. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai pana v'lecha v'ihunecha Yisa Adonai pana v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep
you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And notice the Lord said three times because that's the Trinity.
Hey, that's right.
All right. See you next week, everybody.
Great being with you.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.